Let's pray.
Thank you.
God, I thank you for this morning. Jesus, you can set people free. And Bob and I have some ideas we want to share, and they're not important compared to that, God. Jesus, I pray you would have your way with all of our service today. I pray you would speak what needs to be said. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So this morning we're going to give you all the final series on training and not trying. And there are a lot of things that you can try to do and it seems like failure. But if you train, it's amazing that you can get there. And I just feel kind of impelled to say a little bit that God has a wonderful plan to set people free today. Amen. And so I know a lot of our prayer time was about people getting free. And so I just want you to know God's in the business of doing that. I told a man the other night, if you all remember Kmart, Kmart used to have that blue light special. And God has a blue light special for folks who are addicted, for people who are ex-offenders, to set them free and to give them new life. So just want to say thank God for that. So we're going to give you some tools, and it's not like the tool works. God works. He puts his hand on top of that tool, and he helps it. All right. So Maureen Moore is going to come, and there you go. Now, if y'all are wondering why Maureen is so popular around here, she and her family, they're pretty nice, okay? So you didn't know you're a fan favorite, did you? Huh?
I had a feeling this would be a tougher crowd.
It is. So, what can we say? It is a tough crowd. So, Maureen, you had a whole bunch of folks at your house the other night, and we just want to say we were thrilled for that. Thank you so much.
We loved every minute of it. It's such a great group. We really, really, really love doing it. I'm glad everybody had fun.
That's neat. So, Maureen, you're one of our Sunday school teachers. We want to get a plug-in for Children's Sunday School. So, y'all, this is a commercial for Children's Sunday School. My wife is right over there, Stephanie Ann. And where are you, Stephanie? Right there. You can see both Stephanie and Tony. And you can sign up for Children's Sunday School right after the service. So go ahead, tell us how good it was to be a Sunday school teacher.
Okay, well, in the beginning, I felt like I should do it as kind of a way to give back to Maywood. But it really became something much different very quickly. Having to teach the Bible to the children and help them to understand God's Word really has made me much more Bible savvy. And then there's just being with them. They make my heart smile every week. I feel that this opportunity has been such a gift, and I feel that I receive so much more than I give. If any of you even think you might want to do it, give it a try. If I can do it, anyone can.
Oh, that's good. Thank you very much. So I'll say no more about that. We're doing training, not trying. That is not Maureen in the picture, just for clarity purposes. But you may not know this. The lady between Jake and me is a competitive soccer player and played soccer for how many years?
Approximately 30 years.
30, all right. So, and there's a whole story there, but she's also a runner. And I was talking to her earlier today, and I said, how's the running going, and how is the running going?
I'm kind of slowed down right now because I have some issues, physical issues that I'm dealing with, but I fully intend on getting back to full strength, and my new goal is to run a marathon.
All right. And so you have run some half marathons, and you've run a bunch of 5Ks and 10Ks. 5K is what,
3.1.
And a 10K is?
6.2.
And a half marathon is?
13.1.
All right. So Tell us about the you've done 3 half marathons. Tell us about the one that wasn't so much fun.
I've done 3, but 2 that I'm only really proud of. The first one I decided to do on my own, and I decided that I didn't have to listen to any advice from anyone, that since I've ran some 5 and 10 Ks, that I could just get out there without training, and I could do a half marathon. It didn't work very well. I ended up walking part of it. I did cross the finish line, but but not with my head held high.
Right. So you realized that one didn't work, and you tried 2 others, and you trained. What did you do? How'd you train?
Okay, I found a friend who also wanted to do a half marathon, and we decided to do it the right way. We trained 4 and 5 days a week, and we held each other accountable. So if one of us didn't want to do what we were supposed to do, the other one would kind of pick us up and help us through. We ran the marathon in what we considered a very quality time, and we ran across the finish line with our heads held so high. We found the runner's high.
That's nice. So the principles, by the way, probably let me let you sit down. I told Maureen we wouldn't make her sit here forever. Thank you, Maureen, so much. She's got a whole crowd of people out there, her fan club. So thank you. Kathy Verbrugge, you encouraged her to come and do this. After you said what you said, Maureen said, I can do this. So good move. Thank you, Maureen. The principle is this. If we were to go out today and try to run a half marathon, there's probably a couple people in the whole room who could do it. The majority of us could not. But if we were to train and begin a process of training, there are a lot of us who could, okay? In the spiritual life, there's some things that we try to do, but the truth is we haven't developed our spiritual lungs and our legs and our heart to be able to do what we're trying to do. And so if we train and if we work at training, then we can do those spiritual things. And quite frankly, we beat ourselves up. Well, I'm such a failure. I messed up here, and I messed up here, and I messed up here. Well, if we were training, we wouldn't mess up so many times. Y'all follow me on that? So we have one specific topic to talk about in training today, but we've had a series on several topics, and there's even more. And Coach Jake has got some great ideas, and I've got a few, too, on if you're interested in training more, we could talk to you about that. All right? Fair enough? We're going to take one topic today. So, Jake, why don't you start us off on that?
Yeah. First, Maureen said something that stuck in my mind. She said, I thought I could do it on my own. I didn't need to listen to anyone else's advice, and I didn't need to train. And when I heard that, I thought, I've heard that sort of reasoning from some other folks. And sadly, not all those folks are in the room currently. So I could do it on my own. I don't need to follow other people's advice. I don't need to train. So
you have a notepad in front of you. That'd be worth writing down.
Yeah. There you go. So what we're going to talk about today is if you want to go the opposite direction. If you say, I don't think I can do this on my own. And I'm willing to listen to some advice, and I bet it's going to be hard. I bet there's going to be some challenge to get to where I want to be. So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the people that actually want to get onto the road with some running shoes on, you know, who actually want to do something. So we're going to read a passage from Philippians chapter 3, and in verse 17 it says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes also on those who live as we do." So I'm going to come back to the follow our example here in a minute. Right off, I just want you to notice he says join together. What we're going to be talking about today, it's not about flying solo. It's about teaming up with other people, okay? Join together, follow my example. And then in verse 18, he says, For, as I've often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, when you hear the enemies of Jesus, you might picture Hitler burning books or something. But what does Paul say an enemy of Jesus is? Here's how he describes it. He says their destiny is destruction. That means the place that they're headed to is going to ruin everything that gets there. And there's some rest stops along the way that show you you're headed for destruction. It says their God is their stomach. Bob's going to break that down here in a minute. Their glory is their shame. Have you ever experienced that? Something you were really proud of or excited about or bragged about, and later you stood in front of somebody and were like this because of what you had done? Their mind is on earthly things. How many of us are most worried about and most focused on something that's not even going to exist in 200 years? I mean, that's probably everybody. I'm getting a big head nod from Darren, but I think we all could nod our head on that one. Okay. Paul says you're an enemy of Christ if this describes you. You're going in the whole opposite direction, and you're taking other people with you if this is the way you live. So, Bob, break down that God as their stomach for us, though.
So that's the literal translation. And for some of us, our God is our stomach. I mean, quite frankly, we worship eating. We worship drinking. We worship what makes us feel good when we satisfy ourselves there. Another translation could be their God is their appetites. And that's broader than just your stomach, okay? And so, you know, the old deal of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, those can be appetites, all right? So can always being right. So can be money. In fact, I was reading this past week about addiction, and the author was talking about money. And, you know, with a drug, you can never have enough. With money, we can never have enough. If somebody tries to take my drug, they're going to have a problem. Somebody tries to take my money, they're going to have a problem. See, you follow that? So there's a lot of things, how people think about us, about our pride, about being right, and there's a whole set of things. So what these do, they're like picking up a weight. And I've got a 15-pound weight, and I'm glad I didn't pick any heavier because, you know, you carry this around for a while, it becomes heavy. There's something about this weight. There's nothing that's going to go in this hand right now as long as this weight's there. And so if I have got something that is attached to my life, whether it's one of our common addictions or whether it's one of them that's not so common, but it's very, very real, nothing's going in here, including God. God wants to put stuff in your hand, but as long as you're holding on to what you're attached to, as long as you're holding on to that, you can't put anything else in there, okay? And so what we want to do is we want to find a way to get rid of this. And we want to find a way to release that. But, Jake, if I could get your help, please, for a minute. Would you hold my mic? If my left hand had a conversation. By the way, you know, we now have a codependent relationship. And, you know, when I'm holding on to my addiction or my attachment or whatever you want to call it, I usually bring in somebody else, and they have to accommodate that. And so Jake has now gotten up from his chair, and he's standing over here holding the mic for me because I have a problem holding all of this myself, right? You think about that. That's the way it works in our lives. We bring a lot of people in, and they got to help us out, right? And so here I am, and my left hand is having a conversation with my right hand. I said, why don't you put that down? Well, I really like it. You got to be kidding me. Don't you know it's dragging you down and you've got to carry it? That's all right. I like it anyway. Can you all see that conversation going on? My left hand says to my right hand, give it up. My right hand says, I'm not at all. And what's real interesting is while I'm not giving this up and I'm having this internal discussion, I'm feeling, man, I'm a loser, Jake. I mean, I can't get rid of this thing. And I want to get rid of it, but I can't get rid of it. All right? I'm the only one here that's like that, right? Huh? So the question for us is, what do we do to get rid of this? Are there tools? And I'll tell you, God sets us free. Can I I'm going to meddle for just a second. I got to put that down. It's heavy. Some of us, listen to me very carefully and kindly, some of us want a lottery religion. You know how you know, when you play the lottery, you go to Quick Trip and you spend your money hoping that someday you're going to hit the jackpot, all right? And there are some folks that come to church the same way. God, today's my day. They're going to pray that prayer for me, and something's going to happen, and I'll never have to work again at staying sober or get rid of my opinions or finding my finances, okay? And so let me say, prayer really works. And this place is full of people who have been prayed for. But there's a time where it works if you work it. Y'all heard that before? And so there's some tools that are here on earth that we have been given by God to work, because it does work if you work it. So Jake's going to talk about, so before I got all wound up in this, so I'm sorry, Jake.
That's okay.
So the if you imagine this thing, and if you carry this around, I'll tell you what, I do not want to carry this around all day. All right, and you're carrying around something, some of you today, that you need to get rid of. Truth is, we all are. So what is it that I need to get rid of today? And Jake's going to give us some tips on a tool to work on that.
Yeah. So Maywood's open every Sunday. If you're here every Sunday, you hear 52 sermons a year. What we're about to talk about is not the most important thing. And if you're here today and you're like, my life's a mess, I need a total new direction, please come and talk to me, talk to Bob, talk to somebody else in the room and say, I need Jesus to save me. The reason we're going to talk about this, though, is you can come here for 52 weeks a year and you can miss something that is a good tool. And so we're gonna get into the toolbox and pull out kind of a dusty tool that most of us have forgotten about or been scared to use. Okay, so it's not the biggest thing, but it's still important. Now, if you remember that first verse I read, it talked about join together and following my example. So today the tool we're talking about, it's something Daniel did, it's something Esther did, it's something John the Baptist did, it's something the people of Nineveh did. Pretty much anybody who's anybody in the Bible, including Jesus himself, did this practice. But I would guess that almost all of us in the room don't do this, and that American Christians in general, or Americans in general, don't do this. So first service, I let them try to guess, and they took a long time, and they didn't get it right. So we're just going to skip the guessing part. They were throwing out things like, I don't know. It doesn't even matter what they threw out, but all sorts of random stuff. So the thing that all these people in the Bible did that none of us do almost is fasting. And when you hear it, somebody apparently had it right. Somebody, one of you had it right. When you hear fasting, you're like, what? Fasting? Like, I'm already checked out. Like, I'm already not interested. Like, I already planned out my lunches for the whole week, you know? But here's an interesting thing. We can all hear about people running marathons, but then not actually ever run one ourselves. And we can spend our whole life reading about these incredible people in the Bible and never do anything incredible with God ourselves. Now, it's not a one-for-one. It's not if you just start fasting, then you're going to have miraculous powers. But it does beg the question, if all these people who had a great relationship with God thought fasting was one of the ways they got connected with God, don't you think it's strange that none of us ever fast? And when you think about every culture has blind spots. There's no culture out there that just has God's whole message perfectly. But America's the most obese nation in the world. We watch advertisements for food all the time. We invented fast food. It's interesting that everybody in the Bible does something with food that none of us do. So again, this is not the most important. You can search through the whole Bible, and there's no command for Christians to fast. There's some commands for the Israelites to fast on their Day of Atonement and things like that, but Jesus set us free from our sin, okay? So there's no command to fast. If you leave today and you go the rest of your life and you don't fast, I don't think that's a sin. But if you believe that fasting's a way to get closer to God and to connect with God, why would you not do it? If we had to get somewhere today and it was far away, you could take a tricycle to get there, and I bet you'd probably make it eventually. But why would you choose to take a tricycle? Like, just because it's the easiest doesn't mean it's the best. So today we're going to be talking about fasting. We're talking about this idea of joining Paul's example and all these other people in the Bible. How do they live their life? When Jesus talks about fasting, he says, when you fast. Because he just kind of had this expectation that people are going to fast. Because that's the culture that he was in. Okay, so we know you guys maybe have never really thought about fasting in a spiritual sense before. So here's just the real basics on what does even fasting mean. When fasting is described in the Bible, almost always, unless it specifies something strange, almost always it means a very simple practice. It means you don't eat food or drink anything besides water for a set a period of time. And the period of time can vary a lot, okay? But that is fast. Okay, that's what a fast is. It's to drink only water and nothing else for a set period of time. Now, there's some oddball, random things that happen on the outlying with fasting, but that's the basic fasting we're talking about today. Now, Bob, what are some tips? What are some starting points for people to get into fasting? What's it going
to
do?
I'm going to get to that in a second, but I want to bring my illustration back as to why it's helpful. We want to connect fasting to real life. All right, so here I am. I'm holding on. Can anybody think of something that you're holding on to right now that's heavy, it's weighing you down, it's taking room that God and other people should have, that keeps your prayer life messed up, that just makes you miserable and sometimes sends you to court? Anybody got anything in that hand? Huh? All right. By the way, I have had a half a beer and one cigarette my whole life, but I'm addicted to a bunch of stuff. I got plenty in here. So it's not just drugs and alcohol, all right? Just want you all to know. It's your own opinion. It's being right. It's money. It's pride. It's work. It's a lot of stuff, okay? So with all that being said, Jake, I would like you to pull this out of my hand, please. This is the one. Come on, work at it, Jake. Get the other hand in there. Come on. All right, he has given me a break. He could probably do it, but we're not. So thank you. Jake and I rehearsed this ahead of time. And some of us are that. Some of us are stuck right now. And what we need to do is we just need to release our grip a little bit. Just release your grip a little. So, Jake, the grip is released, and watch this, presto change-o. It works, all right? And so God wants, thank you, God wants you to release your grip, all right? And there's something you're holding on to, and you got that fight with the right hand, the left hand. Do it. No, I'm not going to do it. Do it. I'm not going to do it. But if you could just give God a break. I say to people all the time, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. If you open your life, he will take you a mile in the right direction. Okay? Fair enough? So how do you open your hand up? I would suggest what Jake's talking about is fasting is a great step, and fasting and prayer is even a better step, but we're talking about fasting right now. So you ready for this? Thursday night, I'm going to begin my fast, all right, for real. And Friday, I'm going to fast. What's it going to look like? I'm not going to eat breakfast or lunch. It's that simple. Thursday night, here's what I'd recommend if you were to do that. Just eat a light dinner. You don't need to go out and get 14 Big Macs, all right? Just a light dinner will do. And then in the morning, like me, I have some medicine I have to take every day. And so I'm going to have some orange juice, and I drink a lot of coffee. I'm going to have a cup of coffee with it. All right. Lunch, I'll skip. What do you do when you're not eating? Well, you can pray. It's a pretty good deal. And you can say to God, Lord, you see what's in my hand? God, today I'm opening that hand as much as I can to you. I'm opening my hand. God, you know what I'm struggling with. God, today I'm opening my hand to you. All right? I'm opening my hand. Now, folks, the great thing about Maureen's training for her marathon is she trained one day and she never had to train ever again. Right? Is that true, Maureen? If that's true, I'll join you. You have to repeat it. And so on my little Google calendar that I carry around with me, I put the 14th of July and the 14th of September and August and September and October, November, for 12 months. I just said, you know, I think I can fast one day for 12 months. All right. And Jake has said it very well. This is not the only thing to do, but it's a beginning thing to do, to say, God, I'm releasing. Now, let me just say one more thing. If you will pray and if you will fast, Jesus said fast and pray. This thing comes out by how? Fasting and prayer. All right, if you'll do that. But we can't pray like we pray when we're at Sonic. You know, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want this and I'd like to drive around and have it on my time. All right? So our prayers have got to be more open to God. God, I'm here and my hand is open to you. And while I'm fasting today, God, I'm just saying, God, I'm open. You know, help me to get that little finger pried away from that thing that is so tightly bound around the thing that's taking so much of my life. God, I'm open to you. Y'all follow me on that? So that's the deal. Maybe you want to restate that a little bit to kind of drive it home.
Well, just a few other thoughts with fasting. What is it going to do in you to not eat food? Because remember, food is not evil. Food's a gift that God's given us, okay? So please don't feel like, oh, I need to feel guilty every time I have a meal or something. That's not what this is about. It's the training ground. It's like the weight room. You fast to get somewhere else. It's not about fasting, okay? It's about what is that going to produce in me, okay? But there's a reason people actually have weight rooms if people actually lift weights, okay? You actually have to do it to get that to produce in you. So if your God's your appetite, guess a great exercise to train yourself not to just give in and say yes to your anger or give in and say yes to that bitter cutting remark you want to tell somebody close to you. How do you learn that stuff? How do you learn to say no to yourself so you can say yes to God in those heated moments? Well, you need to train on saying no to yourself. And your stomach's a real easy, fasting can be a really healthy way to just get those training moments of like, I could say no to myself. I said no over and over, maybe 1,000 times while I fasted for 12 hours or something. You know, maybe it's not even that long that you're fasting, okay? But you're learning to say no to yourself, which is huge dividends to be able to say yes to God, okay? A couple other little tiny things as we're wrapping up that you can look forward to that I've experienced in just short fasts that I've done. I've not done a real long fast. Bob has done a real long fast. If you want, what Bob described was 24-hour fast. If you want to do maybe a 36-hour fast as you get further along where you go a whole day without eating from start to finish. If you want to go beyond that, I would really say talk to Bob or read. We've got some books we can give you. Read a little bit about it. Because fasting for more than 36 hours, there's some stuff you need to know before you set out to do that. If just a little medical, you know, waiver as well, if you are diabetic or if you have any sort of health stuff going on, do talk to a doctor, okay? It's a good thing to say, like, I think I could grow in this way, but I'm going to check with somebody first and make sure my body can handle it. Just like if you wanted to start running, you might want to check things out to make sure it's actually going to be healthy, okay? But if you're healthy, you can do it. Even if you're just doing, you're skipping two meals or you're skipping three meals, when you go through that day, if you're anything like me and you've tried to pray a lot throughout a day, sometimes it's really hard. It's like you're going uphill on a bike. I don't know why all the bike analogies are coming today, but it's like you're going uphill on a bike trying to remember to pray all day, every day. If you fast, I can guarantee you, you'll be praying without thinking about it. It's like you're downhill on the remembering to pray because you'll be hungry constantly. And every time you feel hungry, you think, oh, yeah, I'm fasting. And everything, oh, I'm fasting, it's because, oh, yeah, because of God. And then you pray. And suddenly you pray. Suddenly you pray 15,000 times in a day because that's how often you thought about food that day. And so you get to leap ahead of, like, this is what it's like to be even closer to God. You get to experience that closeness. You also get to leap ahead on your freedom from sin. You might be struggling, maybe every hour you're struggling with a temptation. Maybe every 15 minutes you want to do something you know you're not supposed to. When you fast, a lot of times it gets easier to say no to that temptation during the fast. You want food more than you want to look at those pictures on the internet, or you want food more than you want to talk back to somebody, or you want food more than you want to be right. And so you have an easier time that day. It's like, oh, this is a vacation from that monkey of sin that is on my back. So you don't experience that stuff until you actually try it, okay? So try fasting. Here's my last thought before I pray a blessing on you guys. Never mind, Bob gets a last thought first for Bob.
So if you don't make a decision, put it on your calendar to fast this week, I guarantee you're not going to do it. All right. I did miss out. If there's some of you guys like Eric Gossie and some of you guys that work like wild men through the week, don't try to fast while you're working. Get a day when you're not working. All right. But put a date down and then check with me and say, Bob, I'm fasting. How did yours go? All right. And let's hold each other accountable. That's the doing things together.
I got a text from somebody here at Maywood this weekend that really made me smile. We preached a few weeks ago training about memorizing scripture. Someone texted me and said, I memorized 3 verses this week, and it was way easier than I thought it was going to be. And she had gone to the hard work of writing stuff out and found a system, and then now she today was able to tell me all 3 verses. You know, she was excited about it. It's because, I mean, a bunch of us heard that sermon, but a bunch of us don't have 3 new verses memorized. And that's not to feel guilty about yourself. Remember I said about fasting? Fasting's not a command. If you go out of here and you don't fast, I'm not angry at you. Fasting in and of itself is not even all that important, but there is something that's really important. If you've listened to this message today and you've thought, yeah, I'm not going to do that, here's what's really important, is if you're that type of person that you say, yeah, that could get me closer to God, I could connect better with God, but it's too hard. That is a problem. Jesus talks about, like, the only people that come with me are the ones who take up their cross and follow me. The ones who are willing to go through the stuff that I went through. That's our Lord, okay? So fasting, you know, if you have a medical thing going on, or if you're like Bob and you're like, I don't want to get a caffeine headache, so I'm going to have coffee when I fast. Talk that over with Jesus. Sit down today with Jesus and say, Jesus, this is what I want to do. I want to spend a day with you, but I'm going to drink coffee. I don't think Jesus is going to be mad about that. Okay, like talk it over with him, okay? But if you're here today and you're like, Jesus, I really like you, but I don't love you enough to do something hard. Like, that's, I think Jesus is like, well, you know, you have fun by yourself, man. You know, because I don't hang out with people like that. So I'm going to pray a blessing over the next time you fast. And I do hope it's this week, but whenever it comes, okay? Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would bless each one of us the next time we fast, the next time we give up food to be full of you. Jesus, I pray you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray you would bless that day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.